In the previous verses, how that unity in the church is very important, especially when it comes to the sake of the gospel. But sometimes in the midst of our church, in the midst of believers, there can be some disunity and some correction that needs to be taken care of. And we see that in the Bible. But that's what we're going to talk about this evening as we talk about being unashamed of the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verses number 11 through 14. The Bible says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Verse 13, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Verse 14, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Christians need to live a life that is unashamed of the gospel. If we are to obediently carry out the Great Commission, we need to unashamedly declare and proclaim the true gospel. And that's what we've been talking about over the past several weeks. We have seen how Paul is trying to teach the people in Galatia by giving illustrations of how he had to defend the true gospel. And we've learned how that we need to be unified as a church preaching the true gospel. But in order for us to do that, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. How many of you know someone or you know of someone that acts a bit differently when they are around different people? You know, they act one way maybe with you or with some friends, but then they meet someone and they act totally different from the way that they were. You know, sometimes it can cause some inconsistency. It could cause some questions like, why are you acting differently than the way that you should? Well, as Christians, we are called to live a consistent life in order to point others to Christ. And in our text this evening, we are going to learn how Peter, one of the leaders at the church, one of the strong voices, you might say, among the people there, how he was acting one way around certain people, but then he acted differently among different people. Look what it says in verse number 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Peter was receiving blame because his lifestyle was not matching the truth and freedom of the gospel. There's the huge problem that Paul was dealing with was dealing with the Jews that were preaching a different gospel, not the true gospel. But then we see one of the apostles, one of Jesus' disciples, living a different way than he should. The question I have this evening is, are we living unashamed of the gospel? Does our lifestyle match the gospel that we are declaring? This evening, I want us to look at some ways and how Peter was ashamed to declare the truth of the gospel, but how can we live a life that is consistent and unashamed to declare the gospel? First of all, look what it says in verse number 12. I want you to notice the inconsistency with Peter. In verse 12, it says, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Peter was eating with the Gentiles. He was fellowshipping with them. And God had dealt with Peter about, in Acts, how that he shouldn't call what God says clean or uncommon. He shouldn't call them common. So that's how God had dealt with Peter, how that he can fellowship with Gentiles. But ultimately, salvation had come to all men, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. But notice, if we continue verse number 12, here was the issue. But when they will come, he withdrew and separated himself. This was the problem. One way he was fellowshipping with the Gentiles, but then once different people came around, once Jews came around, he would withdraw and he separated himself. Well, why was he doing this? Why was he separating himself? Because at that time, Jews couldn't hang around with Gentiles. At that time, they couldn't understand that they were supposed to keep the law. They thought that they couldn't eat, they couldn't fellowship with the Gentiles. But we know that because of the gospel, because of what Jesus did on the cross, the free gift of salvation is now offered to everyone. You don't have to keep the law in order to be saved. But the problem with Peter was he was living inconsistently, and his behavior was not matching his belief. As Christians, it matters the way that we live. If we are living differently than the message that we are preaching, then how effective is our message? People are not just hearing what we say this evening, but they are watching us to see if it matches what we preach. What led to this? Why was Peter acting this way? Look what it says as it continues in verse 12. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter's fear of men was driving his decisions. He was more worried about what people would think, what people would say, than what his responsibility was. This was the lifestyle that Peter was dealing with. This evening, we cannot allow the fear of man to prohibit us from what we have been commanded to do. You see, it's not just when we hear the word of God that we should just let it go in one ear and out the other, but the message that we preach has to match what we live. The Bible says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It doesn't matter if we hear it, whether it's in Sunday school or when we come into church and we hear the preaching of God's word. It matters if we are applying and doing what God wants us to do. But it was the fear of men that Peter was changing his lifestyle. What is our life a reflection of? Is it a reflection of our fear of man, or is it a reflection of our fear of God? As a Christian, our actions need to reflect Christ. Why does our actions matter? Why does it matter what we do as a Christian? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, our good works that we are doing as a Christian, it's not just so that other people can see what we're doing. It's not just so that we can get that handshake, get that pat on the back. It's because our actions, our good works, point others to Christ, and it glorifies Christ. Anything apart from that is inconsistent with the way that we should live. When we serve God and we glorify Him with our lives, then others see it. That's why it's so dangerous and misleading that Peter was living an inconsistent life. It can be damaging and it can be misleading, which is why we see that if we continue in verse number 13. Notice that not only was Peter living inconsistently, but also Peter had influence. In verse number 13, it says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. You see, Peter's decision, the way Peter was living, it wasn't just affecting him. It was affecting others, and he was leading others to do the exact same thing. As I mentioned at the beginning, Peter was someone who had a very influential voice, and many people were watching him, which is why him living an inconsistent life was dangerous. We have no idea who is watching us, which is why we need to live a consistent life. We need to live a life that is pleasing to God so that we can be an example to others. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul was teaching Timothy that even in his young age, his responsibility is to be an example for others to follow. It didn't matter how old he was, he still had influence. And this evening, it doesn't matter who we are or where we serve or what we do, we all have influence. Whether it's in our workplace, in our church, wherever we serve, it does not matter. People are watching us and we all have influence. They're watching the way we talk, the way we live, the way we interact with other people, and that can be a lot more powerful than any words that we say. Look what it says in verse 13, in so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. You see, it wasn't just other Jews that was led astray because of Peter's inconsistent living, but it says here Barnabas was also carried away. And we know who Barnabas was. Barnabas was the one who was sent out with Paul, whose they laid hands on him and Paul for the work of the ministry. And he was close with Paul, and they were going around preaching the gospel, encouraging these churches. And even someone like that was led astray because of Peter's inconsistent living. Someone who was commissioned and sent out to preach the gospel began to struggle because of Peter's decision. That's why it matters the way we live. Even if it's just around family, even if it's just around friends here at the church, it does not matter. We need to be careful with what we say, the way we interact with one another, because you never know who is watching. When Jesus was restoring Peter, he gave Peter responsibilities when he was commissioning him. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. But it wasn't just about that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Being a spiritual leader is more than just having a title. It's more than just claiming authority. But it's more about being an example as you follow Christ. It's not about following a man. It's about being more like Christ and following Christ, which is how we should live our lives. Our goal should be to live more like Christ and follow him, not a person. It was Paul that said, follow me as I follow Christ, because of the influence. And Peter was wasting that influence. It was leading people astray. What are we doing with our influence this evening? We understand that there are many people in this room who can win people to Christ that I can never lead. There are relationships and opportunities and people that God has placed in your path for the purpose so that they could see Christ through you. And you have that influence. How are you using it? How am I using it this evening? It doesn't matter who you are or where you are serving. You have influence. Who are you bringing along this evening? Now, when Jesus called Peter to be a disciple, it was not just meeting once a week. It was not just once in a while following him. It was following him closely, walking with him, talking with him, seeing the way he interacted with people. That's how they were called, and that's what they did is they followed Jesus. And as we live our lives, who are the people that we are bringing along? Who are the people? Who is that new Christian that is watching you? Who is that unsaved neighbor, that unsaved friend who is watching you, watching the way you serve in church, watching the way that you go to church, that influence that you have, that testimony can be very powerful, and God can use it. But how are we using it this evening? Peter was living an inconsistent life, and his influence was leading people astray. As I was going through this passage, think of what Paul has been doing in this context. You know, as he is teaching the people in Galatia, he mentions about the council, how that he had to defend the truth of the gospel and make sure that they were correcting the true gospel. But then in Antioch, someone, Peter, was living an inconsistent life. That's why Paul was so adamant about speaking with Peter, was that if our lives are not matching what we are preaching, then it doesn't matter what we are preaching. It does not matter the words that we are saying. How will people listen if our lifestyle does not match the gospel? See, when I think of the fear that Peter had, we see that throughout the Bible, don't we? When he said that he would never deny Jesus, and then as soon as he was in the outer court, warming himself at the fire, and there were people around him, when they started asking questions, when they asked him if he knew Christ, if he was a disciple, that's when he denied Christ. There was a fear of man. And it's so easy to get on Peter. It's so easy to throw stones at Peter. Maybe it's not the fear of man this evening, but maybe it's the fear of what people would think of you. Maybe it's the fear of, you know, maybe the influence that you may have. What is that thing that's blocking us from sharing the gospel with someone? Now, we have a great opportunity coming up. We have Easter in a few weeks. And there'll be people who are searching for the hope and the peace that we have. And we have an opportunity to use that testimony, that influence, to bring someone to Christ. But we have to live a life that matches what we are preaching. Peter was living an inconsistent life, and his influence was leading people astray, which is why he needed an intervention. Look what it says in verse 14. The Bible says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel." When Peter got back to Antioch, Paul wasn't ashamed to address Peter about the stand that he took. And as we read in the first few verses, Peter was doing the right thing. He was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. But then when people came up, the Bible says when certain came from James, when Jews came around, that's when he was afraid of what people would say. Paul had to deal with this. As we look at the closing part of verse 14, this is what Paul asked Peter. "If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" What Paul is saying is, he's saying, "Peter, why are you telling them to live after the law if you yourself are not doing it? Why are you living in the freedom of the gospel, but telling them that they can't do that?" Do you see the inconsistency? The message of the gospel loses credibility if we live a life contrary to what we are preaching. Many people can lead a fake life where they portray themselves to be one thing and then act differently. Many people can go through the motions. It's easy to walk the walk and talk the talk. You know, it's easy to fool me. We can fool people around us. But it's God that knows the heart. And you can't fool God. He knows the heart. Titus 1:16 says, "They profess that they know God." They say with their mouth, they say that they know God. They can memorize the verses. They can quote scripture. They can preach. They can teach. Then it says, "But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." If God has made a change in your life, then there is a certain way that we should live. Now, his desire is to have a relationship with you. And once you have that relationship with him, the good news of the gospel that has changed you and done a life-changing transformation in your life, we are commanded to take and share with someone else. The Bible says that we are sinners. There's nothing that we can do for ourselves. But that's why he loved us and sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And he rose again on the third day. And he is now offering the free gift of salvation to everyone. You don't have to keep the law for salvation. He is offering it freely. It does not matter your past. It does not matter what you have done. But it's about all that he has already done for you. And all you have to do is call upon him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news of salvation. And as we live a life that matches that, then other people will want that as well. You know, I do not think that Paul hated Peter. I don't. God had a plan for both of them. But for the sake of the gospel, that's what we have been talking about these past few weeks. Paul had to defend it. He had to make sure they had it right for unity. Peter needed to have his life match what he preached. Paul intervened because when believers live inconsistently, the truth of the gospel is put into danger. This evening, how can we be unashamed of the gospel and live a consistent life that points others to Christ? Here are a few ways. First of all, live a life to please God, not men. In Galatians 1:10, he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul made a decision that I'm here. God has called me. If I'm here, I'm here to please God. If I worried about what people would think, if I worried about pleasing men, then how can I be the servant of Christ? We need to live a life that pleases God. Yes, it may be uncomfortable. There may be some awkward conversations. But for the sake of the gospel, because we understand that everyone will spend eternity somewhere, we need to share the gospel. Not only should we live a life to please God, but secondly, we should walk daily with Christ. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's not just once you receive him into your heart and then you sit down and you do nothing. Then we should walk in him. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We see throughout the New Testament the examples that Jesus put forth on how we should live, how he dealt with people. And we should also walk like he did. And that daily walk, it's not just by going to church, it's by having that personal daily walk with God in fellowship. It's not just memorizing verses here in classes or in Awana. It's about having that personal walk with God. We should live a life to please God, walk daily with him, but also we need to remember that people are watching you. Whether it's your friends, your family, whoever it may be, your coworkers, people are watching you. The Bible says in Titus 2:7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. People are watching us. They're not just hearing what we say, but they're watching the way we interact with other people. They watch when we go to church, when we go about our day, when we interact with people. People are watching us. And the question is, do our actions point others to ourselves and the way we are, or are we pointing them to Christ? If we remember to live a consistent life, understand the influence that we have, having a close walk with God, then we will live a life that is unashamed to declare the gospel. That's why Paul had to make some corrections. He had to defend the gospel, because wasn't it him that said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why was Paul not ashamed? Because it is the power. It's the gospel that can still change people's life. Even here in 2026, the gospel hasn't changed and it can still change lives. And we need to be unashamed to declare it. Yes, it may take some time out of a schedule. Yes, it may be uncomfortable. But because the gospel changed all lives, and because we know that the gospel can change their lives, not just their lives, but the entire world, then we need to unashamedly, boldly declare the gospel. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have a word of prayer this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth from your word. Dear God, I pray that you would give us boldness to declare the gospel. Thank you so much for you sending your son to die on the cross for us so that we can have salvation, so that we can have a relationship with you. And we know that there are people around us that need to be saved. And there are people watching us. I pray that we would live a life, have a toast testimony that would point others to you. I thank you so much for all that you have done and what you are going to continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen.